welcome to Holy Trinity Catholic Church from Beaverton, Oregon.
Good morning, everybody. Can you all hear me okay? Okay. Want to see something kind of interesting? Yes? No? Yes. Did you set your clocks forward, really? All right. I'm not very good at this, so we'll give it a try and see how it works. Here we go. Okay. Thank you. Yes. So this is called a bull roarer, like a bull roaring, a bull roarer, and it's kind of a traditional instrument that I guess some cultures have used to communicate over long distances. Sometimes it's used in ceremonies to drive off evil spirits. Sometimes it's used to drive off pesky bosses. Obviously, this one is broken.
I can't hear you very well.
Okay, so there is a point to all of this. So where are my physics majors out there in the audience? One, okay. Two, sort of a physics major, okay. All right, close enough. How about my engineers? Where are my engineers? All right, there we go. Engineers, okay. So you guys can help me out with this. So when I swing this little wooden blade in a circle, what force is acting on this blade that pulls it away from my hand? Centrifugal, right? Centrifugal. And for all you geeks, I know that's not a real force, but anyway, just bear with me here. On the other hand, what is the force that's represented by the tension in this string so that when I swing this little blade around, it doesn't fly off and hit Father Bill in the head behind me? What's that called? What kind of force is that? Somebody's saying it. Centripetal, right? So you've got centrifugal, which scatters or pushes away or pulls apart, and you've got centripetal, which pulls in or gathers or connects, right? Sound good? That's my homily. Thanks, everybody. All right. Well, what's true in physics is actually kind of true in the rest of our lives as well, right? There are certain forces in our lives that that scatter and that divide and that tear apart. They could be political, they could be social, they could be psychological, they could even be spiritual, right? And then there are forces in our lives that integrate, right? Hold together, connect, and give us a sense of stability and direction and connection. Hopefully faith is one of the most important of those. Sometimes in life, sometimes the centrifugal forces, the scattering forces, get the upper hand, right? So for example, in our first reading today, 2 Chronicles, we hear the story of a people who have lost everything. They've lost everything, who because of their own choices and also factors that are beyond their control, have had everything ripped away from them. So their homes, their country, their families, their culture. So they were refugees, they were exiles, they were strangers living in a strange land, bereft, alienated. Obviously, we're not in such an extreme place in our own lives where we live at this time, at least not yet, right? Thank God. And yet, if we look around, there's an awful lot of friction and animosity and antagonism out there, isn't there? And even if we look at the church, lots of mistrust, hostility. In the hearts of people that we love, maybe even in our own hearts, we find loneliness, discouragement, aimlessness, disconnection. So we too know what it is to feel adrift, right? Lost at sea. Sometimes when we talk about faith, we tend to talk in kind of soft terms, as we tend to emphasize its ability to comfort and to console and to inspire, right, to make us feel good. And that's not wrong. But I think it ignores one of the most important functions of faith, which is to be a bulwark or a defense against a world that's gotten really good at tearing apart hearts and relationships, communities, even countries. So whether we're talking about the human world or the spiritual world or even the natural world, we're faced almost daily with scattering forces, centrifugal forces, powers and influences not yet subject to the reign of Jesus, forces that don't care about our well-being, that are not interested in human community or wholeness or happiness. Scripture calls those forces sin. Sin not in the terms of breaking a rule, sin in terms of that which wounds and divides and leaves us vulnerable. So vulnerable to the turbulence in our own hearts, vulnerable to fears and passions and the insatiable demands of the ego, vulnerable to evil, which is always seeking to expose and exploit and alienate. Friends, God is the only one that can overcome these centrifugal forces and hold us together, at least in a full and final way. Which is why it's so concerning to see our culture push God more and more to the margins. Because I think there's no neutral ground. In the end, there really isn't. We either submit and serve the powers of division, suspicion, and fragmentation, or we submit to the one who can bring genuine healing and integration and reconciliation. Salvation won't come from all the attempts we see around us to judge and condemn and destroy. Salvation comes from grace, as St. Paul reminds us, and from us acting graciously, speaking graciously, thinking graciously. In the end, God is the only center that can hold. So, when it comes to Lent, the season that we're in the middle of right now, I wonder if maybe we don't need to sort of change our way of seeing a little bit, seeing it not so much in terms of a time for self-improvement as a time for recentering, for putting once more at the very heart of our lives the one who, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life again in Christ. And what do I mean by that concretely? Well, if your Lenten disciplines, if they aren't helping you to become more aware of God in your daily life, if they haven't moved you to visit the sacrament of confession so that God can heal and stitch together the torn and broken places in your life, if you're finding your thoughts and your words and your efforts more in the service of scattering than gathering, then maybe there's still time to reevaluate, to reevaluate. Sit down with God this afternoon. Ask him to show you what it is in your life that most needs to be surrendered to him. And let that become your Lenten penance for the next 3 weeks. You know, I've often found that the most meaningful Lenten sacrifices are not the ones I choose myself. Those have a way of becoming pretty routine and pro forma. The most meaningful Lenten sacrifices are the ones that the Lord chooses for me, right? That he brings into my life unbidden, that I'd rather not deal with, that I would have never chosen on my own, right? Honestly, even though I'd rather not deal with them, those are usually the most powerful and the most effective at confronting me with my own pride and anger and judgment and even idolatry, the centrifugal forces in my own life that I just can't seem to overcome, that need the grace of God's Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit, to keep in check. How about you, my friends? How about you? Where are you falling prey to scattering, division, and discouragement? As I said, we've got 3 weeks left of Lent. Those are still in front of us. In those 3 weeks, how might God be inviting you to open your life more fully to the power of graciousness, connection, and hope?
You can learn more on our parish website at h-t.org. We hope that you will subscribe to our YouTube channel or try and join us for Mass if you're local. Again, all the information will be on h-t.org.